Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Oh, Ben Crenshaw. It is the U.S. Open at, Oakmont. Boy, you know, talk about soggy. You know, talk about, will it roll? It's just an incredible beast. And, well, it's beautiful, too. But it's like just the bunkers made me scared. Like, oh, dear, I don't think. Well, obviously, there are a lot of people who are equally scared, wondering what in the world has happened to their game. I was looking, going down, thinking to myself, okay, so where is Rory? Okay, I can't find Rory. Oh, there's Scottie Scheffler. He's four over. Yeah, Jordan Spieth is five over. Yeah, it's very difficult. Tony Finau is six over with a bunch of other people. It's not just them. It's everybody. But Sam Burns right now is in the lead. J.J. Spaun is one back. Victor Hovland is there, too. And, you know, it's just poor Rory. He's having just the worst time. He's six over par. So that's what's going on. And we're going to have more information because Alex Myers, the award-winning writer with Golf Digest magazine, yes, he was on last week, but there was so much to cover. And he was available today, which is absolutely fabulous. Ben Hongo, president of the Aloha Section PGA, master PGA teaching professional, Hongo Golf Academy on Maui. He's going to be with us. Steve Pike is driving somewhere down the road in good old U.S. of A. He's an award-winning journalist, but he travels the world in search of the best resorts, the best food, the best golf, and other outdoor activities. And of course, Michael Patrick Shields, our travel guru extraordinaire. Speaking of travel, my goodness, he's in Italy, or he was in Italy. I can't keep up with the man. He is all over the world, and it's like an incredible car aficionado sort of event that he's been to. And I just looking at the cars that he was able, if he touched them, if he drove them, I just need to know all of these things. Partly cloudy, scattered showers, windward and mocha today. Isolated showers on the leeward side. High 88. Well, 83 to 88. Lows 69 to 74. Easterlies 15 to 20 miles per hour. For the Big Island, it's going to be mostly sunny. Leeward side, some haze because of the eruption, of course. Isolated showers in the afternoon. Windward, numerous showers. High 85 to 90. Northeasterlies 15 to 20 miles per hour. Yay for the northeasterlies. Okay, so we're going to come back after we do a couple of tee times, first of all, because you know you want to go play a round of golf. No, I'm watching the U.S. Open. So this is what I think is great. On Oahu, we've got an 852, 916, 1150 at Pearl Country Club, 836, 950, 1118 at Turtle Bay. Royal Hawaiian Golf Course has an 830, 930, 1056. The Hula Girls are out on the golf course. Eva Beach Golf Course has a 920, 1048, 1112. Hawaii Prince, 840, 956, 1108. And the Swingin' Skirts are on the course. And that's awesome. Six-pack engineers. Now, I don't know if that's a six-pack they're carrying around to drink or it's, you know, the abs that are six-pack. But bottom line is, may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Makalei, 848, 950, 1120. And Volcano Golf Club. Now, I'm not sure how high those fountains are going, but there's an 832, a 924, and a 1048. And I hear the view is absolutely spectacular. All right, we're going to come back. Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power at your fingertips. The Honolulu Sign Company. Branding, banks, shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. Claude Brousseau, Master Teaching Professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever.
My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest. He wrote one of my favorite columns called The Grind. It came out on Tuesday, golfdigest.com, with Alex Myers looking back at the week in golf to review the highs and lows and everything in between. And I'm sure, welcome into the clubhouse, Alex.
Hey, Danielle, it's great to be back.
Yes.
I feel honored. 2 weeks in a row.
This is
like
awesome.
Becoming a weekly segment here, yeah.
what I, you know, looking back at the week, well, you're going to have a lot to look back on, looking at the leaderboard at the U.S. Open at Oakmont. How soggy is it at Oakmont?
Yeah, I mean, the people are calling it Soakmont, which is just a perfect name. I love it. You know, it's unfortunate because, you know, they got a ton of rain last week, and then it kind of was starting to dry up. You know, Thursday was playing maybe a little easier than some people thought, but then yesterday, wow, it was playing tough. You had, you know, only three guys under par now entering the weekend, but then they get all this rain overnight and in the morning, and you just hope it doesn't make the course play too easy. Not that it's ever going to play too easy, but I'm one of these guys who I love at least once a year to see these guys really struggle, really have to grind it out. And we were headed that way, Danielle, and so I just hope the rain didn't throw it off too much and that we get a classic U.S. Open finish where, you know, anything under par can get the job done.
You mean like Rory's 2-6 over? He's not alone. Tony Finau, Xander Schauffele, Mike Kim, JT Poston, Matt Wallace with Rory McIlroy. Didn't Rory just squeak in?
Yes, he did. He made a birdie on the final hole to make it. And, you know, what's crazy, although I think he ended up actually making it by an extra shot there, but it's crazy because he was so out of sorts. We saw in the same round from Rory McIlroy, and I still think, I don't know, something's going on. I don't know if he's still mad about the driver failing the test at the PGA or whatever, but, like, he's been acting weird. I mean, we saw a full club toss from him yesterday.
Whoa.
And then on the 17th hole, he hits a bad drive. He smashes one of the tee markers.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
It's just a bad look. Like, come on now. And then he birdies 18 to get in to the weekend. So I get it. It's frustrating. It's tough. He's not playing like he was when he was on top of the world a month or two ago. But, man, he is really taking this. It's been a tough run for Rory.
Yeah, and he's not talking to the media. He hasn't.
Exactly. And he's not talking to me. And again, look, let's preface this. He has been fantastic throughout his career, other than a couple cases with the media. Now, again, does he talk when it's a bad day? Not usually. But when it's pre-tournament, when it's, you know, he's in the mix, he always talks, or used to always talk, and he's fantastic. He gives great answers, thoughtful answers, funny answers. I mean, he's, you know, he's a writer's dream when it comes to the quotes. So that's part of the reason why everybody's kind of so puzzled and kind of maybe a little miffed that he's not doing it, because he does provide such great material for everybody. So, yeah, it's been bizarre. Obviously, the 4 days at the PGA Championship, he didn't stop at the media. He admitted after, he was pissed off, he said, at the leak about the driver test.
Yes.
But now it's like, come on, man. You know, he did the pre-tournament press conference. He was great. But, yeah, to not do it, you know, either these first 2 days is tough. I mean, you know, a lot of other big names missed the cut. Bryson DeChambeau did media. Other guys did media. But Rory, no media.
No. And, you know, like you said, that's really not his style to beat up the golf course with a club toss, you know, and all that.
It's not.
No.
Yeah, it's not. You know, I hate to say it because, obviously, again, we get it. This is a very tough tournament, and we know these guys are playing. It means so much to them and everything else. But, you know, Brandon Chamblee had a fantastic tweet today about him not doing the media, and he said, look, he's been amazing, but if this becomes the norm, other people see it, and kids see it eventually, and it trickles down to where that becomes the norm. Oh, the best player in the world doesn't have to, you know, do media. And the same thing I would say with club throwing and smashing tee markers.
Yes.
Oh, the best, the guy who won the Masters does that? Oh, must be okay. So, you know, it's just...
Totally
not. You know, obviously, get it, yelling at yourself or whatever, but the throwing the club and the actually breaking things, I mean... You know, we saw Wyndham Clark, I think it was the PGA, he threw a club on a bad drive. He almost hit a volunteer in the head with his driver. Like, you know, it looks funny sometimes, but geez, like, these are dangerous objects which we're throwing around here.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of objects that probably won't be used anymore, what's the lowdown? Jason Day bent his putter? And why
this
it was...
This is bizarre, Danielle. I mean, look, if you've ever been to a PGA Tour event, especially a major, there are so many equipment trucks. Every company is represented, obviously. And they inside there, they can do whatever you want to these clubs. And they're waiting on these players, hand and foot, to tweak the equipment to their specific, you know, exact specifications. Jason Day apparently finished Thursday, putted poorly. He went out to the putting green, and he just decided to step on his putter and bend it. Didn't get in the truck, didn't have them examine it, didn't have them, you know, measure the loft. I mean, these things are down to, like, you know, the degree, Danielle. He's just like, nah, it looked a little close to me, so I bent it, like, back in the old day. And then he goes out yesterday, and he putts phenomenally. So he's, you know, he's allowed to do it. Here's the tip, guys.
Yeah, okay.
You cannot do it during a round. But if you do it after a round, it's okay. But you cannot deliberately alter a club during the round.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, so that's the rule. He was totally in the clear, but it just was so primitive for a player to just go and just step on a club and bend it when we have these high-tech machines and everything else measuring these things. But we'll see if it keeps going. I mean, he had a hot round yesterday, so it'd be funny to see if he can keep it up.
Yeah, that would be pretty wonderful. I'm just trying to find out where Jason is three over. I guess, you know, it's just, what are you going to do? Over par just seems to be the norm, except for the top three, Sam Burns,
yeah, well,
J.J. Spawn,
well,
and Victor
Hovland. Than he was seven over par at one point. So he had a fantastic, he clawed back, and then he had a 67 yesterday, which was one of the best rounds. So,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, by the end of the week, if again, the rain might have thrown this off, but I think we were headed towards, if anyone can finish under par, maybe even par, gets it done. So, you know, to get back to three over, if you're thinking, okay, somehow in the next two rounds, I just have to get into red figures, and that's certainly what Scotty Scheffler's thinking at four over. He's thinking, if I could just string 68 and a 67 in there, get to one under, I'd probably win this thing. So that's what I love about this tournament, Danielle. I mean, all of a sudden, you make a couple birdies, you leapfrog 25 people on the board. You know, you make a couple bogeys, you don't really fall that much. So, you know, I think Brooks Koepka had, how many bogeys did he have yesterday? 8 or 9 bogeys in a round, and he's still one of the favorites going into the weekend. So it's a rugged, rough, difficult tournament. Again, it's once a year. I love it. I love the carnage. it's fun to watch. I just hope I hope a few more big names kind of, you know, rise up to the challenge. But it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
I keep hearing Schadenfreude. You know, it's like
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, look. I mean, this is someone posted yesterday. There was. Someone who's a he's a PGA Tour rookie.
Okay,
and he started his round double quad bogey. So he was 9 over through 4, and I forgot who it was, but someone tweeted out his scorecard and just said, "Your typical weekend hackers round starting at 7:30 in the morning." And that's like, it was unbelievable. This is a PGA Tour pro who's 9 over through 4 holes.
Yeah.
I mean, you only see that at the U.S. Open, and I think it's great.
And he probably didn't throw a club, right?
I don't know, but yeah, it's possible. I don't think he smashed a tee marker. That's for sure.
Okay, here's another from the U.S. Open. Justin Rose's crazy shot off the tree sends fans scrambling. Huh?
Yeah, this was a wild one. You know, you had to be kind of paying attention to see this, and someone did, luckily, and ripped the video from Peacock. Justin, first of all, I just want to say, Oakmont, there still are some trees there, which is good to know because, you know, this used to be called Oakmont. They took down, I don't know what it was, 5,000 trees or something. It
looks
totally different.
Yes.
From, it definitely looks totally different from 94, but even from 2016, it looks a lot different. But just around the perimeter, there are still some trees. And Justin Rose, I think it was on the second hole, tried to punch one out. He hit a tree. It went backwards. It was that classic. We've all been there. He just had to watch helplessly as the ball went backwards past him. And then it went down a cart path, and there was a marshal who was doing a great job. But, geez, he made it like a grenade was coming down the path. He's screaming, "Move back, move back, move back." And, you know, meanwhile, it's a golf ball that's, like, trickling down the path.
Okay.
But eventually, someone, the crowd did a good job, except there were a couple guys driving on a motorized scooter.
Oh.
They couldn't get out of the way in time, and the boss ended up under one of the motorized scooters. So, you know, it was an unusual situation. Of course, Justin Rose got to drop from there.
Okay.
Made a double bogey. But, yeah, you don't have to play it as it lies. I'm giving all these rules, Danielle. If a ball ends up under a motorized scooter, you do not have to play it as it lies. So
well,
that's good to know.
That's one of the things I was wondering, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he was on the path, too. So I think he got, like, normal cart path relief.
That makes sense. All right. Okay. And then, all right, again, we're going, you know, this is the U.S. Open, folks, and you probably, maybe if you were working, you missed some of this stuff. Victor Perez's wild round includes ace, snowman, and a flying chest bump. Okay, what is this?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, Victor Perez made a quadruple bogey. No, it was a triple bogey, 8. It was on a par 5 on the back 9.
Okay.
And, you know, at that point you're thinking, oh, this guy's sunk. He's not going to make the cut. Well, he rallied from there. He made 3 more birdies, and then he made a hole-in-1 on the 6th hole. So a rare 1 and 8 on the card in the same day. I mean, even when I made my hole-in-1, I didn't have an 8 on the card. You know, like that's just crazy. You know, in baseball you call it hitting for the cycle. He almost hit for the cycle. Except he went too high with that 8, but he had a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then he had an 8 also on the card. So wild stuff. And then, again, it was crazy. You know, he shot 1 under par, and you're like, all right, what's the big deal? He moved into the top 10 by shooting 1 under par because, again, this tournament is so tough, and yesterday he was playing that difficult. So, yeah, Victor Perez, he's won a few times on the European Tour. Good player, but, yeah, heck of a round. Oh, and yes, the ace. He and his caddy pulled off a perfect flying chest, more like a stomach, but chest-stomach bump, which was amazing because, as we all know, these guys are so bad with even just high-fiving their caddies. They whip or they do the fist bump. One guy does the high-five, the other guy, and they butcher it every time. These guys just went for the flying chest bump, and they pulled it off spectacularly. So it was almost as impressive as the shot itself.
Yes, they're athletes.
They're athletes. Exactly.
I'm talking with Alex Myers, senior writer at Golf Digest. He's author of The Grind weekly column, but it's a video series now. So, you know, for all of us with our phones, we can watch. Can we watch you on our phones? Can we connect there?
Of course. Yeah,
oh, goody.
Watch away. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, the videos are fun. I kind of pick one thing and kind of riff on the one thing. Where the column, you still get a potpourri of everything kind of going on in golf. So, yeah, it's a nice little mix there.
Okay. Siwoo Kim. Siwoo Kim is doing pretty good, isn't he?
Siwoo Kim is doing great.
Yeah, he's tied for 8th or something.
It's kind of funny when you look at this leaderboard and a couple names pop out. J.J. Spahn, who almost won the Players' Championship this year. Siwoo Kim did win the Players' Championship. For whatever reason, guys who played well at TPC Sawgrass seem to like Oakmont, which I didn't, you know, you talk about a course that was built over 120 years ago, comparing it to a kind of a modern TPC, you wouldn't think that there would be any sort of correlation, but I'm going to have to stash it in my memory bank for the next time U.S. Open comes back to Oakmont and kind of look at guys who do well at TPC Sawgrass apparently. But, yeah, Siwoo Kim, one of the most entertaining players out there. He seems to be a guy who all the players love playing with. He's got a great sense of humor. And He's got an incredible short game. Some people think he's got the best short game. Wow. He pulls off a bunch of crazy shots. So, he's off to a nice start. Again, if you're anywhere around even look two or three over par, you've got a shot at this thing over the weekend, and Siwoo Kim is one of those guys.
Well, I love what he said, the quote that you had from him. Honestly, I don't even know what I'm doing on the course.
He'd never been here before, and he said, you know, he'd looked at all the previous winning scores, and he was like, he just kind of, it's kind of what like a normal golfer would do if they're going to play a tough course, right? You kind of psych yourself out, which is the exact, you would think the wrong thing you want to do, but it almost lessened his expectations. And so when he played even on Thursday and he shot the opening 67, he knew he played well, but he just kind of couldn't believe he'd shot that well because the course is so hard. And he was like, I don't even know what I'm doing out here. But he obviously does know what he's doing. He's a pretty darn good player, and he's off to a really good start this week.
Yeah, and just to wrap it, the quote goes on to say, kind of hitting good, but I feel like this course is too hard for me.
Yes, exactly. Too hard. Exactly. And that's a guy, again, that's a testament to Oakmont. You have a guy who's coming off a 67, and he's saying, I don't even know what I'm doing out here. It's too hard for me. That's what I love it. This is such a classic U.S. Open venue. I couldn't be more excited to watch how this plays out in the third and fourth round.
Yeah, I've been enjoying the coverage. U.S. Open 2025 at Oakmont. And here's a name that we really haven't heard a lot from. Patrick Reed. He made history.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Yeah, Patrick Reed made an albatross in that first round. It's the, believe it or not, it's only the fourth albatross in U.S. Open history.
Wow.
And this is the 125th U.S. Open, and it's the first ever at Oakmont.
Oh.
And the first of the four happened in 1985, I believe. So that means that, you know, there was 100 years, basically, of no albatross at the U.S. Open. And then now we've had four in the past 40 years, which, again, is not crazy. You would think it would happen every once in a while, especially with the length these guys hit now. They can reach some of these par fives. But, yeah, and his was no cheapie. It was a 286-yard three-wood.
Wow.
And he put in. We saw him at the Masters, right? I think he finished tied for third. He holed one there on the back nine Sunday for eagle. So he's still got the game, Danielle. He can still play, and he still shows up at these majors and does well. So, Patrick Reed with, I guess you could say, the highlight of the week so far. Although, again, we'll have to – hopefully someone can top him these next couple days.
And this is sheer brilliance on the part of I'm talking with this wonderful man, and he's at Golf Digest, and he wrote this, okay? U.S. Open 2025, how Bryson DeChambeau barely avoided an all-time boneheaded penalty.
This is just a rules segment, Danielle. I love it. You know, it's funny. I'm not even like a rules expert. I should be better, but this is one that people really should know. Although I guess we're not really usually playing where there's a crosswalk. But Bryson had hit one up into a crosswalk. And, you know, you're allowed to take relief from it, although it did bring him back about 10 yards, made the shot longer. But his caddy picked up the ball, and then Bryson just placed it down. And a rules official said, no, you can't place it. You have to drop it.
Oh.
So because, right, you drop it, and then if it moves a couple times, then you get to place it, right? So he went, oh, gosh. And he, you know, if this rules official hadn't been there, it would have been a two-stroke penalty for playing off the same spot, basically, but placing it instead of dropping it. And actually, moments before that, the same rules official saved him again because he kind of changed his mind because of the yardage. He was like, you know what? I kind of just want to play it from the crosswalk after all. And she said, no, you already, or your caddy already picked it up. That's it. You're taking relief now. So, again, to the amateur players out there, even the pros get confused by the rules of golf. We know how confusing it can be, but that's definitely something to be aware of for people out there. Don't make the boneheaded mistake that Bryson made, really. He was saved by this USGA official. Now, again, it didn't matter. He actually missed the cut, which was, you know, probably the biggest shock of the week so far. I mean, he was a lot of people's favorite heading into this year as a defending champ. And, you know, he's played so well the first couple majors, but he just did not have it this week. You know, maybe it's not the best setup for him with that thick rough. Can't just bomb it around here. But he'll be back. He'll win more majors in his career, no doubt about it. And he'll definitely not make that mistake again, I don't think.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, if a caddy's carrying a second pair of shoes for some of these guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe you got to do what you got to do. Why? Because it's so wet.
Yeah, because it wet and muggy.
Definitely could. I mean, it's a tough walk. I mean, right? You know, you're playing, you're sopping around out there.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, by the time you're done, you're worn out for sure.
And your shoes need to be tossed. They can't be clean.
Yeah, you might actually be right. You might just wear new ones every day.
Yeah, probably right. They can afford it. So
these guys, yeah, exactly.
Now, here we go. Gil Hans did the renovation ahead of this, right? How many bunkers are there at Oakmont now?
You know, I don't know. I just remember reading at some point, I think there were over 150, which is a big number.
Yes.
Think about it. That's almost 10 per hole. But they definitely took some of those out. And again, they took out so many trees. But what they did do, Danielle, is I don't know how they kind of did it. They dug them out a little more. But there are these ditches that are all around the property.
Ditches.
So there's not really water in them.
Uh-huh.
But the fescue and the grass is so gnarly that it's basically like a hazard. You're almost definitely going to take a penalty stroke and take a drop out of these ditches. So it's just another thing when this William Found, when he built this course, you know, in 1904, he was a great player. He won a U.S. Amateur. He wanted to test golfers to the extreme.
Okay.
He waited a few years to see where people hit the ball, and then that's where he installed more bunkers and more trees. He put these ditches in. He made sure the rough was thick. I mean, this guy was sick. Like, talk about schadenfreude. I mean, he wanted people to kind of suffer out here. So, and then over a century later, even with Gil Hans's restoration, we still see just how penal this course can be. So, you know, not that I wouldn't want to be a member here, Danielle, but it would probably be tough to be a member there and get just beat up.
Oh,
every
yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I know, you know. I'd have lunch there.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? We'll skip golf today. Let's just do lunch.
Yes. All right. And finally, I need to go into this just a little bit because I just, when I read the headline, PGA Tour won an Emmy. What?
Oh, yeah. You're into that. Yeah. We were teasing that last week.
Yes, right.
Yeah, so the tour, they're very active. You know, they have this new partnership with Strategic Sports Group. They've done a lot of polling and surveying, and they're trying to come up with ways, I give them credit, to make the product more entertaining to fans, even on TV. And one of the things is they've heard that fans love the drone or the shot tracer. And so they developed this drone, this flying drone that aids with the shot tracer. It makes it even more accurate. And I forgot what it's called, AR something drone, some techie name.
Yeah.
But it won the technical award at the 47th, which I didn't know this has been going on, but 47th Sports Emmy Award. So the tour won an Emmy. That is right.
Wow.
They won for this drone technology, which picks up in the shot tracer. And now a thing they introduced just last week at the Canadian Open is, you won't see it this week, but you saw it last week at the Canadian Open. When the shot tracer goes off on someone hits a drive, it starts blue because they don't know where the ball is going to go. And then as soon as it picks up, if it's going to land in the fairway, the tail turns green, and if it's going to miss the fairway, it turns red. So this is while the ball is still in the air.
Wow.
Like, a second after, it can kind of tell based on the spin and the launch and the speed and everything else kind of where the ball is going to go. It's kind of crazy. And they even have it where they can pick a spot and kind of map out and point to a spot in the general area where it's going to go. So kind of crazy technology. Danielle, I know some fans don't like it because they want the suspense. You know,
right,
they want to see where the ball's going to end up.
Yeah.
They don't want to know right away.
Right.
So you can't please everybody. But overall, it's kind of a cool thing that they've introduced. And, you know, again, I give them credit. They're trying to figure out new ways, both in person and watching at home, to just make the golf product better for fans.
Hey, it's great for the caddy.
Yeah, right.
There's no wondering where it is.
right. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, at least you know. Yeah, we're not going to lose golf balls either. So
yes.
It helps these guys.
Yes. Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest. I'm so glad you were able to be with us on this also important day, the U.S. Open at Oakmont. And all of this stuff that you brought to the show, all of these questions came up out of reading what you wrote. So thank you for the work that you do. Really enjoy your writing.
Oh, thanks, Danielle. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, we'll do it again soon. Enjoy the golf.
Fantastic. Aloha. All right. We're going to come back with Ben Hongo, PGA, president of the Aloha Section PGA, but director of instruction, Hongo Golf at Kapalua Golf Academy. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
It is Aloha Power's Honda EU2200 generator sale. If you've missed it, we have specials in every size, and you get $200 off your Honda EU2200 generator, $1099, plus a free extended warranty. That's worth another $250. Need power on your job site, out in a field? Keep your lights on and your equipment running. Get your Honda generator today. You want them? Yeah, we got them. You know, hurricane season has just started, and you got to be prepared. So we ship off island. New shipments arriving daily here. We're open Monday through Saturday. Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station. And in Waipahu, Aloha Power Equipment, we put power at your fingertips.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Hey, speaking of Poipu Bay, there's a 9:30, a 10:40, an 11:50, and four fathers are out on the golf course. And before I forget, I wish you a fantastic, marvelous, wonderful Father's Day tomorrow. Ben Hongo, PGA, President Aloha Section PGA, Director of Instruction, Hongo Golf at Kapalua Golf Academy, and you can find him at hongogolf.com. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning.
Good morning, and happy Father's Day to you before I forget.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be a great day tomorrow for sure.
Yes. And so Ben Hongo, Aloha Section PGA has awarded him Teacher of the Year 2004, 2017, Youth Development Leader of the Year 2008, 2013, Horton Smith Award 2018, 2023, Aloha Section Golf Professional of the Year. You are a runner, a foodie, a sushi cuisine lover, lover of the game. You've been a member of the Aloha Section PGA since 1989. You know a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I guess so, if you put it that way. I never thought about it that way, but I guess I've been around a little bit.
And that's a good thing, but you've learned a lot about how best to teach people. And I'm going to ask you the question again. Is there a question most often asked of you from your students?
Yeah, absolutely. My number one request is probably, I don't want to embarrass myself, so help me out.
Wow.
And I think what that really means is on the first hole, they want to get the ball airborne.
Well, so, yeah, that would be nice.
Yes. And I get it. I mean, this is a hard game, as at Oakmont, the best players in the world are experiencing this week. You know, they're kind of normal this week. But I think if I play Oakmont this week, I don't think I could break 90.
You're so honest. I appreciate you very, very much. I might not break 200.
I mean, that rough is just absolutely unbelievable. And they're definitely, I guess it's fun for us, the regular folks to watch the best players in the world struggle a little bit. But, that's really the number one thing, you know, I hear from.
And what do you say to them?
Well, you know, as I kind of mentioned before, that, you know, I have my, you know, what I call my 3.5 absolutes. And the number one on that list is low point. And, you know, I had a guy yesterday, actually, I was teaching. He comes in, he's got a nasty shank. And sure enough, he's hitting a 7-iron, can't get the ball airborne. Everything's shanking off the hosel, going right, topping it. And then when he did hit it, it went straight left. So, you know, we just kind of talked about, you know, because he didn't realize where the golf club was actually traveling as it, you know, as it entered the impact zone. So, you know, I took a close-up video of his golf swing. I mean, a video of his club head as it moves through the club through the impact zone. And then he, you know, the light bulb went. And I said, well, you know, I think, you know, first of all, I think you're standing too close to the golf ball. And let's kind of move away. And he goes, how far? And I go, well, let's get crazy. Let's just kind of go as far as, you know, let's get you uncomfortable. You know, until you actually hit it off the toe, you know, and in the first one he hit, he goes, oh my goodness, I found the sweet spot for the
wow.
first time in a week.
Oh,
you know, so, you know, so I did. I mean, there's science. There's some science behind it, and obviously there's some feel, you know, behind it as well. So as I got him a little bit closer, I mean, a little bit further away, his posture starts to change. So, you know, he walked away. Basically, the key was, hey, I need to feel a certain, a certain way over the golf ball with the posture. So that, you know, and basically I was just trying to get his rear back a little bit and use the hip flexor to hinge out over the ball rather than getting really close to the golf ball and bending from the middle back. And I showed him before and after, you know, pictures of his posture. And he goes, oh, yeah, the second one, you know, the newer one, it doesn't feel very good, but it sure looks good. Yeah, and that's kind of the, the obstacle that we have as well as golfers that, sometimes we think that if we feel comfortable, if we feel good, that's a good thing. But, you know, if it's not working, you're doing something wrong. So a lot of times I got to just convince people that, you know, uncomfortable feeling is actually pretty natural at first. And as you work through it and get used to it, you know, and I try to, you know, try to explain to people, you know, feel is just temporary. And, you know, from a professional standpoint, outside looking in, I really can't teach by feel because I can't feel what you're feeling.
Oh, yes.
So I almost tell them, you know, I go, hey, no disrespect, but I almost don't care what you feel like at this point. I just, you know, I can only see what I can see. And a video really helps, and there's a lot of stuff. There's another app I use. It's called Sports AI, which gives me markers as to how the body is moving and whatnot. And it's a really good visual for a lot of people. So, you know, I have tools in my, my toolbox, which makes it easier for people to learn and understand. And I think that's kind of the first thing, you know, and anything, whether it's golf or cooking or whatever it is I think you have to have some understanding as to what, you know, what you're trying to do and then kind of go from there.
So are there muscles in the body enough to make it less comfortable or to stabilize yourself that we need to develop those muscles, strengthen them?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, the muscles, tendons, those, you know, skeletal system that we have in our body, you know, although we're kind of the same, we're not, you know. So let's just say if I saw my best buddy walking down the road, say 100 yards ahead of me, away from me, I couldn't see his face, I could probably pick who he is by just a walking pattern.
Oh.
Or, you know, before caller ID, you know, my mom calls me up within, you know, half a second, I know who she is. So, you know, whether it's a walking pattern or talking pattern or golf swing pattern, you know, we all have kind of our patterns, and sometimes it's a good pattern. You know, you see some kids, you know, and I'm so used to, you know, I'm sure you experienced this, where you go out to the driving range and there's this 4-year-old, 5-year-old swinging a plastic golf club, and he or she just has this perfect golf swing, and you're going, oh my goodness, that's going to be the next Michelle Wee. Or, and maybe that was Michelle Wee, you know, when she was 4 years old. And you know, and some people just have a, you know, natural golf swing, and some people don't. You know, some people have to work at it, and some people, you know, don't have to work at it as much. And aesthetics of a golf swing, I mean, it's controlled by things like, you know, you're kind of mentioning, like muscles and whatnot. Some people are a little bit weaker here or there. I'll give you an example. Damon Goddard, he's Jordan Spieth's personal fitness coach. And I was asking him about how, you know, his left foot, how it kind of turns over. You know, it's a little funny move. And also a little bit of that little left chicken wing that Jordan Spieth has. So I was asking about it. I go, hey, you and, Cam and Formick ever, you know, address that? Like when he was younger. And he goes, well, you know, Ben, you know, as a sports coach, you know, what's your first priority? I'm like, I don't know, have fun, you know, have people have fun. And he goes, no, it's to keep your players safe, to don't get hurt. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Uh-huh. So anyway, I he told me a story when he was like, when Jordan was like 12 or 13, they actually tried to change it, and it injured them. So they said, we're not going to go there. So, you know, so he's got a little different move. Obviously, it's worked for him, you know, Hall of Fame. I mean, he's not in the Hall of Fame yet, but he's already got Hall of Fame numbers. You know, yeah, it doesn't look like McIlroy. You know, I have opinions of what I like to see in a golf swing, and Rory's probably one of them. Nelly's another one. I mean, I don't think Scotty would teach his footwork to his kids. You know, although he's completely dominating golf right now. So I just think that everybody moves a little bit differently, whether it's, you know, to your point, you know, is it the strength of the muscle or flexibility, mobility? You know, I think all the players on the PGA Tour now works, not just with the golf coach, but also with some type of a fitness coach.
Right.
And, you know, and a lot of them have dietitians, and, you know, they're trying to perfect their bodies. Yet, you know, you look at some golf swings, and it's a little different. And I think it's okay to have a personal, you know, style to your golf swing.
Yeah. This weekend was forecast to be a little blustery. I don't find that. Maybe Monday we'll get the 25. I think it's going to be up to 20. But a wind game, you know, when it is blowing, what do you recommend?
Well, you have to kind of understand. I think, you know, when people kind of look at the wind, they go, it's 10 miles per hour. A lot of people equate 1 mile per hour to 1 yard. It's not actually true. So if it's 10 miles per hour, if you're going downwind, you might actually gain 12 yards, 13 yards. But if you're going into the wind, you may gain like 8 yards or 7 yards going downwind. But when you go into the wind, it's probably going to cost you more than that. So it's not equal if you're going downwind, how much you're going to gain versus how much you're going to lose going into the wind. You're going to lose a lot more going into the wind opposed to how much you're going to lose. Now, having said that, I think, you know, that saying of when it's breezy, swing easy, I think there's a lot of truth to that, you know. So especially going into the wind, you know, instead of trying to, you know, let's just say if you're a normal 7-iron is 150 and you're 145, and, you know, instead of trying to hit the 7-iron really hard, you know, take the 6-iron, maybe take a 7-iron and just hit a small, you know, kind of a, you know, 70% swing. And I think the ball will go out, go a little bit lower, and also, you know, it will spin less, so it won't get affected by the wind. Now, going downwind, I like to take, you know, if I was in between club, you know, soft 8 or hard 9, I would take a hard 9 and try to knock the cover off of it, because when you're going downwind, you're losing control because you're, the spin is getting negated with the downwind. And a lot of times it's hard to control the ball once it lands on the green. It's just going to, wants to run away from you. You know, and I think, you know, and putting, you know, if it's blowing 25 miles per hour, putting, you know, you have to factor that in. It's not, you know, it's going to break more if it's, you know, if the wind's going in the direction of the hill, which it seems like here in Hawaii, a lot of places are. You know, you have, you know, forces like gravity and grain here, but then you add the wind here at Kapalua especially, you know, everything kind of breaks towards Molokai, and the wind, the trade winds kind of go over there. So, you know, you got wind, grain, and hill all going in one direction. I actually did a video piece a few years ago, and I was on the 18th hole of the Bay Course, and I took a stimp meter and rolled the ball down grain, and it rolled 16 feet. And it's from the same exact spot, I roll it up the hill, and then it rolled 6. So, and there's 10 feet of difference going down grain, downwind, opposed to going into it. So I'd be really, you know, work a lot on distance control before you go out and play, and just kind of experience that wind, especially if in speed-wise.
When you said work on distance control, I'm like, how do I work on distance control?
So what I would do is, you know, let's just say you take two holes that's, like, say, 30 feet apart, that's slightly on a downslope or downwind, down grain, and just roll the ball to the, you know, say 30 feet to that hole and come back and hit it back. And you'll start to feel the difference.
That's good.
So you can do it, you know, so you know, we do a 30-foot baseline hill, you know, say about a 2 to 3% you know, hill. And I'll just roll the ball down the hill, come back up the hill, go down. You know, do that about 5-6 times. And another thing you can do is I have a drill called the 15-30-45, where you take a hole and you walk out 5 steps, put a tee down, another 5 steps, put a tee down, another 5 steps, put a tee down. Assuming that your step is about a yard, you know, you'll have a 15, 30, 45-foot putt. And put 2 balls on each tee and hit it to the hole, okay, from 15 feet, 30 feet, 45 feet. And now you got 6 balls near the hole. And then go back to the tees, okay, 2 balls, 2 balls, 2 balls.
Wow.
So you just go back and forth. And if you do that, because – here, you know, as a player, if, you know, I've always said this, if I have to think about speed or how hard I have to hit the ball, I'm dead. So it needs to be kind of internal. it needs to be sealed. It needs to be something, you know, like I'll explain to people, I'll get on a putting green, we'll start talking about feel. I'll hit a 30-foot putt and it'll get near the hole. And I'll go, hey, if I have to explain to you how that happened, it's going to be really hard. Scientifically, what I'm trying to do is control this with the length of my swing back and forth. So we're trying to get kind of a 50-50 pendulum stroke. And then we're not hitting it harder. All we're doing is we're trying to hit it smaller or longer, depending on the, you know, depending on the distance you're looking at, or uphill, or the grain, or the wind. So there's a lot of factors that you have to try to figure out. But if you work on a regular basis, I mean, you'd be amazed how incredible our machine is, our brain and our feel is. But you have to engage it, and you have to let it come out.
Yes, engage it and trust it. Once you get the field, you know, trust your field. It's that's awesome. Okay, there's somebody said to me once, okay, you're coming up out of your swing, and I'm like, I'm coming up out of what? So for those folks who don't understand what that means, can you kind of explain it a little bit?
So I got to be honest with you. This is really complicated, okay?
Oh.
It really is.
Uh-oh.
So I talk about this all the time. You know, from a biomechanical sense, okay, there's really three, like, major motions that our core has, so we can bend forward or we can stand up. We can go to the right side bend. We can get it to a right, left side bend. And we can go to a right side twist and left side twist, okay? So you can just imagine if you're standing, okay, you know, you bow and you come up. That's one plane of movement.
Right.
You can turn to the right. You can turn to the left. Okay, that's another plane of a movement. And you can bend to the right. You can bend to the left, okay? So posture, a lot of times, you know, you'll take a video and you'll go down the line, and you'll draw a line on the back or something like that, and we're just trying to maintain that. But the issue is that what happens is when you start to combine those three motions, what's actually happening is not really what's happening. For example, on the backswing, as you turn to your right, okay, your left shoulder is getting lower than the right. The right shoulder is actually getting high, and the left shoulder is getting lower, if you can imagine that.
Yes.
As I come through the golf ball, okay, the opposite is happening. So as I turn to my left, my left shoulder is getting high, and my right shoulder is going down.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens is, you know, when you say to people, let's keep your head down, okay, what's really keeping you down is that you're actually turning on a tilt, okay? So it's left shoulder towards the ball, right shoulder towards the ball, but it's not really your head towards the ball, I mean towards the ground. So if you get to the finish position, you know, looking at the target, and then you actually bend forward from your hips and you bring your head down, that's that swing, what I call the old man swing, okay, where the head really moves laterally. If you had a camera in front of you, and what's really happening is you're engaging forward bend on the backswing and finish position, and it's actually kind of a, you know, that's why I don't really like head down. I like right shoulder down.
Okay.
And I think that's what, yeah, that's as you come through the golf ball. So a lot of times that right shoulder comes up. Okay, and you know that makes you come over the top and do all kinds of bad stuff. But me trying to explain to you verbally, it's really hard for me to explain this.
Oh no, you've done a great job.
If I had a video in front of me right now, I could kind of show to you what I'm talking about. But it's usually when people say, "Oh, you're coming up." Obviously, they see the head coming up, right?
Right.
So what's really happening is that right shoulder is coming up.
Got it.
As you come through the golf ball.
That's
how I interpret it most of the time.
That's really important, you see, because most of us just focus on the head. We don't even, you know, yeah. we're just the shoulder is just doing whatever it does. We're not even thinking about controlling the shoulder.
Again, and you have to understand that the head cannot, head can only tilt and twist, right? So it can't move. You know, I mean, in a sense, like, okay, I'm going to move it a foot to the right. It can't do that. Okay, so, and then people go, well, why is my head moving, you know, foot to the right? I go, something else is moving it. It's not your head moving it. It's something else moving it.
Right.
So it could be a lot of different things, you know, that's making the head appear to move, foot to the right, foot to the left, or foot up or foot down, you know? I mean, if I was standing in front of a mirror right now, if I bend my knees, my head's going to come down, okay? And if I extend my ankles, my head's going to go up.
You are the Golf Digest Best Teachers in Hawaii, voted by your peers 2024-2025. And the amount of patience you have is phenomenal. This is Ben Hongo, PGA President, Aloha Section PGA, but... More importantly, I mean, not more importantly, but you know what I mean. What his, the gut of him is the director of instruction, Hongo Golf at Kapalua Golf Academy. You can find him at hongogolf.com. Thank you so much for your passion. Thank you so much for your patience. I really enjoyed talking with you. Taught me a lot today. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope I didn't confuse everybody.
No.
But if you have more information, everybody knows where to find me. I'm at Kapalua, you know, most of the days here. And I love teaching. And let's talk soon again, Daniel.
Yes, let's do that. And he's at hongogolf.com, HONGO golf.com. Aloha, Ben. We'll be
Thank
back.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye. You too. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamila Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliance signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
Steve Pike, owner, editor, Spike on Golf and Travel.com, exploring the worlds of golf and travel for more than 33 years. Spike's Peaks, the art of travel, award-winning travel writer. He actually defined golf business in the 90s for Golf Week, Golf World, Golf Shop Operations for the New York Times Magazine Group and Golf Digest. Welcome into the clubhouse, Steve.
Hi, Danielle.
Where are you driving to? You've been on the road.
I've been on the road for about 3 weeks. I'm actually driving back to my home in Fort Lauderdale. Hopefully, I'll be there in about 4.5 hours.
For 3 weeks, where did you go?
Went up through, well, part of it was a family thing to see my parents in Kansas, but then went over to the French Lick Resort, the Great French Lick Resort over in Indiana to play the Pete Dye course and the Donald Ross course and to see the new Sand Creek nine-hole par three course. Wow. And to play the Valley Links course, which is a terrific nine-hole course there. Played down in Jasper, Indiana, about a half hour away at a terrific course called Sultan's Run. And then drove about 6 hours south and west to a little town called Wilson, Arkansas, which has a really, really nice reversible six-hole golf course. Stayed at the four-star resort that the village has in it, which is called the Lewis Hotel. Ate every day at the Wilson Cafe. Well, except for one day. Had a little barbecue off the side. But, and just started, did that. And that's pretty much the extent of the trip. Played a little bit in Kansas in some of the old stomping grounds. And heading home right now.
I suppose you're going to be writing about these destinations you've been to.
They will all be written about probably between now and about July the 7th.
So where can we find them?
They will be on my site, which is called Spike on Golf and Travel.
Okay.
And they will also be on a site called golfonemedia.com.
Golf One, like the number one?
No, well, one or zero N E. Is that right? I can't spell.
Yes.
Golf One.
Oh, Golf it's, One. Gotcha.
Golf One Media. Okay. Com.
Awesome. 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 Good.
O N E. O N E.
Oh, yeah.
A long trip.
Right.
And also some other. Other various websites and all that pick it up along the way.
Right on. All right. So the tale of Justin Thomas and the five wood. What was that all about?
Well, I think it goes to show you that that you don't have to play the latest and greatest equipment in order to play what you like. Justin Thomas this week at the U.S. Open is used a five wood, a Titleist five wood. That he's had for 10 years, and my guess is it's probably got a different shaft in it than it had before, but it goes to show you that whatever equipment you're comfortable with, a lot of times your swing doesn't know the difference, and and like I think I said in the story, every player, regardless of how skilled or unskilled they may be. You need a club that you can hit falling out of bed. And for Justin Thomas this week, it's that five wood. It could be a three wood for somebody else. It could be a six iron for somebody else. But, you know, I think everybody needs a club that is sort of their go-to club. If you're not swinging that well that day or if you're not playing that well, here's a club that you know that you can hit well regardless of how you're playing.
Seven iron. Hand up, seven yes. Iron.
Exactly, seven iron is always someone's best friend. Yes.
Okay, and here, what do Adam Sandler, Jack Nicklaus, Rory McIlroy, Ben Stiller, John Daly, Chris McDonald, and Julie Bowen have in common?
Well, right now they're all in the trailer. For the new Happy Gilmore movie that's coming out, I believe it's July the 25th. And the trailer, I think you can find it on YouTube now. It's pretty funny. And it's, of course, it takes place 30 years after Adam Sandler's Happy Gilmore decided to trade in hockey for golf. And instead of 30 years ago when he was trying to, memory serves, save his grandmother's house, this time he's trying to raise money to send his daughter to ballet school.
Okay. And Jack Nicklaus and Rory McIlroy and Ben, they're all in this?
They are all in it, yes.
Wow. That's incredible that they all got together. You know, everybody's got these bizarre schedules, and to be able
yes,
to...
Yes, I'm sure they all didn't get together at the same time, because the trailer, of course, is part of the movie.
Okay.
You make the movies in different
sections.
Yeah.
Okay, I had a picture of the room full of all these people. Oh, my God.
Probably not. Most of them probably never even saw each other.
Right, exactly. All right.
I'm supposed to talk to... I'm hoping to talk to Adam Sandler in about 3 weeks before the movie comes out. I'll make sure to ask him that.
Oh, please do. That would be great. And I'd love to have you on the show again to talk about what he said.
Sure. Sure.
And I don't even know if I'm going to pronounce this right. A Zincand Golf Design? Or Zincand?
Oh, sure. He's the golf designer?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's starting to become more and more of a in demand these days as a golf designer, and it's Zincand, and I think he's going to be one of the next few years is going to be heard from quite a bit.
Wow! So what's this Bigfoot golf course in Wisconsin?
Oh gosh, you'd have to. I'd have to think about that a little bit. I don't really remember that much about it right now.
Oh, no worries.
But I believe it's the renovation of that he's doing of a previous design.
Ah, yes, that makes sense.
That is this time of year where there's a lot of courses up in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, all over the country that are being renovated and redesigned these days. There's more, of course, that are being redesigned, renovated, than there are actually new courses being built, because it's just easier to do in a lot of different ways. But he's one of those who is getting a lot of attention.
So his
and
name...
I can tell you another one who might be getting a lot of attention sometime soon is a guy named Jimmy Craig, who works a lot with Corin Crenshaw. His course at Rodeo Dunes, out in the Front Range near Denver, probably will come online later this year or early next year, I think. And I don't think I'm telling tales out of school there, but that's the last I heard. And Jimmy's a Texan and a really good guy. He's been a primary shaper for Corin Crenshaw for a long time. But the course he's doing out in Colorado at Rodeo Dunes for the Kaisers is his first solo project.
Wow. That is cool. Let me just make sure that I've got the pronunciation correct. It's Zincand Golf Design?
Yes.
Ah,
yes.
Zincand. Gotcha. I was making it Zincand.
No, that's fine.
Okay. What do you think of the killer conditions at Oakmont?
I don't think they're as bad as everybody predicted they were going to be.
Ah.
I think when 2 weeks ago or last week you heard stuff about, well, the rough is the rough. And yeah, it is 5 inches, but you were also hearing things like, the USGA, because Oakmont's greens are notoriously fast to begin with, that they could be 15 or 16 on a centimeter. That's a little bit ridiculous because, one, it would embarrass everybody out there. And number two, perhaps more important, it certainly limits the pin placements. The faster the greens get, generally, it limits the number of pin placements that you can put on a green. So I think the course softened up through weather, and the USGA may have softened it up a little bit. So it becomes more of a target golf course than a bomber's golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And and you see a lot of that with the DeChambeaus and the Rorys who aren't playing in the weekend, because there are a lot of times they're used to just flailing away at it and hitting it as far as they can, and a lot of times that's past trouble, so they don't get into trouble, or if they do get into trouble, they're strong enough to get out. But at a place like Oakmont, you have to rely on precision.
Absolutely. And just so you know, Rory actually made the cut. He's six over. So he's still in. But
last I saw was eight, but that was this morning. So.
Yes. Well, yeah, yesterday when the cut was
okay.
made. Yeah, when the cut was
okay.
made.
Well, my bad. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. No worries. I mean, gosh, you know, all these, you know, Sam Burns, J.J. Spawn, and Victor Hovland, the three of them are the only under par. The rest are.
And again, Oakmont is one of those courses that lends itself, with the exception of Hovland, it lends itself to people that no one has perhaps ever heard of before coming up and winning a golf tournament.
That's
certainly
yes.
not the first time it's happened.
Yes. Absolutely fantastic. Alex Myers was on the show earlier, and he's gleeful in watching the difficult conditions play out. So I just was curious if you also liked kind of seeing the guys struggle a little bit.
I think it's good once or twice a year. I think it wouldn't be good for ratings if it happens every week.
Yeah.
Because then it's like an NBA team missing, you know, 43 point shots a game. It's not good. It's not good television. And at the end of the day, you want to make a good television.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's all about.
I like that. Well, Bridgestone Golf and Pabst are toasting this 125th U.S. Open. What do they got going on?
You have to credit my friend Dan Murphy, who's the president of Bridgestone Golf. He always seems to come up with something. And this week they're collaborating with Pabst Blue Ribbon to sell a box of the, I believe it's the BRX golf balls, a dozen of them that come with the Pabst Blue Ribbon logo. You get within the box, you get the towel, you get the golf balls, and you get the really cool this time. They've done it with other companies and other majors in the past. Excuse me, but you also get a head cover, a putter head cover.
Cool.
This time. Which is really cool.
Yeah.
I believe it's only for, I don't believe it's for oversized heads. I believe it's only for smaller, the smaller heads.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. I love seeing that.
Yeah, it's very cool. The Bridgestone guys are really good at being able to market things like that.
That's nice. That's nice. Steve Fike, are you going to get back on the road to get home?
I am going to go in here, grab a bite to eat, and then I'm going to get back on the road.
You've been driving for 3 weeks. That's amazing. And you're,
yes, I have.
And,
yeah, I have.
And your brain is still functioning just fine. Steve Pike is the owner. Yes. Owner and editor, Spike on Golf and Travel.com. Spike on Golf and Travel.com. Get it? Steve Pike, Spike. Thank you. Aloha.
Thanks, Danielle.
We'll be back right after this with Michael Patrick Shields. I don't know which car he's driving around, but gee whiz, it could be a really... Maybe he's got the Pagani Utopia Roadster, or maybe he's got the Maserati MC20 Cielo, or the Ferrari Roma Spider. Huh. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu, and... It's Aloha Power's Honda EU 2200 generator sale specials. Every size. You don't have to get the gigantic one. You can get one that fits in your you know, home, because you want to keep those lights on. But first, get $200 off your Honda EU 2200 generator. Now it's $10.99, plus a free extended warranty. That's worth another $250. If you need power on your job site or out in a field, keep your lights on and your equipment running. Get a Honda generator today. You want them? Well, we've got them. And hurricane season's just started, so you want to be prepared. We ship off island. New shipments coming in daily. We're open Monday through Saturday. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu. It's Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips.
If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458. And have more fun playing golf.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Michael Patrick Shields, Hollywood insider, radio talk show host, author, travel writer, and host Michigan's Big Show, starring Michael Patrick Shields. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael Patrick.
It's the one weekend a year watching golf we can feel like the professionals because they get so frustrated and they throw clubs and they drop clubs down and they tear up the turf. And that's what it sometimes feels like for the rest of us, but it even gets to them at a place like Oakmont, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, they even bend their own putters.
That's right. So, yes. Yeah, it's what you call schadenfreude, right? You know, they're struggling like we are most of the time.
That's the third time I've heard that on this show today.
Oh, gosh.
Schadenfreude. Yes. Yes.
Well,
no. Wait a second.
The nice thing is you don't really have courses like that in Hawaii when people come out on holiday and they play. They don't get destroyed like that at you know, places like Hualalai and Mauna Kea and the rest of it. They're pleasant. They're fun to play. Lots of room to hit the ball, right?
Right. There can be challenges, you know, but for the most part, yes, we don't want to hurt you. Yes. That would be, you know, like sending people home with a yucca on their shoulder. But you must come back to Hawaii soon. I know there's openings. I know that we haven't completely sold out. It would be so good to have you here. But
good. I've been dreaming of it. No
okay.
Question.
Okay. So I asked the question, you know, from what I understand, you're in Italy. Are you still in Italy?
No, I'm back in Hollywood and just in time for the demonstrations and everything else downtown there. And I would just say that if you think that, you know, you're afraid to come here because of that, it's about a 1 square mile, if that, area downtown where it's going on. And as you know, Los Angeles is a huge area.
Yeah.
And so if you were in Santa Monica or Beverly Hills or, you know, even you wouldn't know what's going on unless you went down there. And then if you went downtown, you could go to the Dodgers game and not even realize what's going on. So
there you
don't
go.
Think the whole city is affected because it's not.
Isn't that funny? You know, when people see it on TV, it looks like, yes, you know, everything's
We don't know what to believe anymore from what we see and the way things are presented. It's terrible.
Yes. The Motor Valley Fest, though, is something that you went to. The annual open-air celebrating the motors, the land of motors, in Emilia-Romagna, Italy. So why did you go?
Well, put it on your schedule if you love cars and if you love food, because it's the place where the balsamic comes from. It's the place where the Parma cheese comes from. It's a cuisine capital of the world. Right now, Massimo Bottura is the number one chef in the world, and he lives right there in Modena. He's got a 3-star Michelin restaurant there, and he's got El Gato Verde, where I spent time with him last week. And that is a restaurant that just cracked the top 50 in the world, and that happened the day I was there. So
wow.
They were very, very excited. And it's a love of cars. It's a love of cuisine. And if you fly to Bologna, or you can even fly to Florence or Venice and take the train, and you'll go in there, and this is the headquarters of Ferrari and Lamborghini and Maserati and Ducati. And so once a year they put on a festival right in Modena, which is a beautiful town, and you can walk and see all the cars and go to the headquarters of Ferrari, and you can go like I did to a place called Autodromo Modena, which is a racetrack. And for a certain amount of euro, I think you can get in for as little as 400 euro,
mm-hmm.
that will put you in, or even at the wheel if you prefer, of a Ferrari race car.
Wow.
And it's, you can drive cars, but to drive an actual race car or be in the passenger seat of the race car, you can do it on the track there. And so I did this, and they give you a little class first. And so you learn what you need to do and how to turn and how to brake and all that. And I said, no, I think I'll be the passenger. there's a lot going on. And so you can go either way with it. And even if you drive, the race car driver will be in the passenger seat with you to assist. However, I had these big Hoka tennis shoes on. And I think probably the day that I came out of the birth canal was probably easier than getting in and out of this race car for this ride. Do not wear big tennis shoes. Race car drivers have little shoes. And also, I'm not small either, so you open the door and then you have to sort of do this reverse gravity yoga position in order to get in through the cage to get into the seat. And I have a helmet on too, so you got to squeeze that in somehow. And so I thought, I'm not going to be able to get into this car, and certainly not out. But they helped me. They took the helmet off. Then I got in. Then they put the helmet on. And I know a lot of tourists have gone around this track. You know, they've dreamed it. They've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got in, finally got squeezed into this car. It was a dream, right?
Yes.
And they came and they tried to put the seatbelt on me. And they said, the seatbelt doesn't fit. And the driver, who's a professional driver, who has raced professionally, looked at me and said, it's all right, I'll go slow. And I said, damn, I bet not too many people have been in a race car with no seatbelt.
Going slow.
Yeah, going slow means 200 kilometers an hour.
Oh.
And he said, just hold on to this bar. Put your arm up here in this bar. And then when he went into the turns, he said, I'm going to take it easy on the turns.
Uh-huh.
If I tap the brakes, you'll go through the windshield.
Was this kind of like a torture moment for you?
He was, I'm glad he did it, because I would not have wanted to squeeze in and out of there without at least going around a couple laps.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which is what we did.
Yeah.
So it's Autodromo Modena, and it's right there near Modena, so you can have a super fun car experience.
So you can go there anytime. It doesn't have to be a certain time of the year.
No, that's open all the time. And also you can visit the car factories too. You can go to Lamborghini and get a tour. You can go to Ferrari and get a tour. And Massimo Bottura has a restaurant, what used to be Enzo Ferrari's like corporate dining room, that is now one of the best restaurants in all of Italy. So it's called Cavallino, which means the dancing horse, which is the logo of Ferrari.
Yeah. Yeah, I was, having a moment thinking about being in, the Pagani Utopia Roadster or the Maserati MC20 Cielo and the Ferrari Roma Spider. All of those are the latest models from these brands. But then I read a little further into it, and this festival includes discussions on the topics: the future of the automotive supply chain, sustainability, and innovation in the industry. And I got to tell you, I was pretty impressed that they actually you know, we're having these kinds of instructions in addition to having these so sexy cars.
It's great because it's like a golf trip where you don't have to play golf all the time. You know, like, obviously in Hawaii, you've got other things to do. So you play golf in the morning and go snorkeling in the afternoon or whatever it might be. So if you go to this section of Italy, and I know everybody goes, right? They go to Rome and they go to Venice and they go to Florence. Then maybe they go to the Amalfi Coast, whatever. But this Motor Valley with Bologna there is really on the rise because of the reason I just said. You can go and see how Parmesan cheese is made. You can go to where the balsamic place and have a beautiful lunch. And you can mix that up together with the car culture and just the history and the beauty. And it's a lot of fun. And so that's called it's called Emilio Romana is the region. It's essentially headquartered with Bologna. And you can find lots of it in my writing at traveltattler.org and goworldtravel.com and also on my socials if you're interested in more about it.
Right on. And the Enzo Ferrari Museum is there. Wow.
Yes, that's beautiful, too. That's his birthplace. And you can see his office. And, I mean, you just, even if you're not into cars, this is more like art.
Yeah.
The same goes for Massimo Bottura. His food, sweet, sweet guy he is. And his food is more like artwork as well.
Yes.
And he took me in his garage. He had a Ducati motorcycle, and he had it anchored down, like, in the garage. And he fired up the engine, and he roared it for it. I said, why is it anchored down? He said, well, I don't want to have three gin and tonics and get a crazy idea about going for a ride.
What a, you know, honest and truthful.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
And he had this garage full of cars. It was, they were all classics. And, man, he is such a star. And he's got, he's a man who aligned himself with, it's kind of a business lesson. He aligned himself with some of the greatest brands. So he's got the Gucci Osteria in Beverly Hills and also in Florence. That's his restaurant there. And he's understudied under Alain Ducasse in Monaco.
Wow.
And so he's obviously at the top level there in terms of a chef and a location. And he is linked, of course, with Ferrari because he's got their restaurant at the headquarters. So he's a chef who is very, very sweet and also aligned himself with some of the most luxurious, iconic brands in the world.
You know, Michael Patrick Shields has been around the world, obviously, more times than, you know, probably he remembers. And he has had to admit to me that he has never played Oakmont. This man who's traveled around the world has never played Oakmont. It's probably a really good thing, Michael Patrick, because this doesn't look like a friendly course at all.
Well, my buddy Chris Rodell, he wrote Arnold Palmer's columns for him for
yes.
the King magazine.
Yes.
And he said that he was excited one day because he finally got a tea time at Oakmont, and he was interviewing Mr. Palmer the day before, and he said, I got a tea time at Oakmont tomorrow. Do you have any suggestions? And Arnold Palmer told him, yeah, I suggest you play somewhere else. Yeah.
That's a knee slapper, honey. Okay.
Gosh.
Okay.
I got to interview Arnold Palmer with you out yeah. there in Hawaii at the Skins game that time on the practice range.
Yes.
That was a beautiful moment.
Yes. And you got to come back, and of course you will. Your new book, How to Deal with Stuff That Sucks.
Yeah, that is Chris Rodell's book.
Yeah,
he lives there in La Trobe, where Arnold Palmer lives.
That's absolutely fabulous. And I've got to go because I got to thank the people who make this show possible. It's yeah. And time flies when you're having fun.
Aloha.
Aloha. And thank you to Aloha Power Equipment. The Honda EU 2200 generator sale is happening. Get your Honda EU 2200 generator. $1,099. That's free 2-year warranty worth $250. Hurricane season is upon us, so you want to get yours so that you're ready for anything at Aloha Power Equipment. Open Monday through Saturday. The only time they're not there is Sunday. Monday through Saturday at Ibile. It's next to the Costco gas station in Waipahu. It's right along Farrington Highway by Waipahu Depot Street. So it's on the ocean side, on the Makai. and the Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks and shopping centers and businesses and hotels since 1939. You know, you can't find a place if you don't have a sign up. So people are going like, I don't know, where's the sign? I don't know. Oh, my goodness, I've passed it. Put a sign up, okay? Oh, and by the way, before we close, absolutely, the Hawaii Department of Transportation would like you to remember that there's going to be the full closure of the Waipahu off-ramp from the H1 West today. They're doing some repairs, 4 a.m. to 9 a.m. To remove sand barrel barriers, repair an attenuator, all the stuff that needs to be done. Okay, so you have to take the Waikele Waipahu off-ramp. All right, thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2025.